Please return your seats. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, and you begin reading from verse 5 through to verse 18. Matthew chapter 6, and I commence reading from verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we now come to the preaching of your word, and we ask that you be pleased to honor yourself as your word is being proclaimed. Dear God, we pray that may the Holy Spirit direct the preaching of your word, and may the Holy Spirit direct the hearts that will be sitting under the voice of the preaching of your word, so that they will receive your word, but also that the preaching will be done by the aid of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we ask that you be pleased, dear God, to receive the honor, to receive the glory, even as your word is being preached. For we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday in the evening, we began looking at the first phrase of the model prayer, what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, in preparation for the week of prayer and fasting. And we looked at the words, Our Father in heaven. And we saw that these words speak of the relationship, our relationship to God. And when we truly grasp the fact that God is our Father, it will create a desire within us, within our hearts, to worship and to glorify God. And hence it is appropriate that the very next phrase deals with the idea of expressing a desire to see God glorified. God glorified in our worship and in our lives. And the Bible uses the word hallowed. Hallowed be your name. And this is very important. Since we've just come out of the week of prayer and fasting. We need to ask ourselves, when we gathered to pray, what was the motivation for our meeting together? Why did we meet together into small colonies of believers across the city of Lusaka? Was our desire to see that the name of God is hallowed? Or was it simply a fulfillment of an event on the church calendar? And this must cause us to deeply reflect and search our hearts. And the message which these four little words convey is designed to teach us that prayer is about expressing a desire to see that the name of our God is glorified through our lives, through our activities, but also among the people of this world. But also these words remind us that even though we have a relationship with our God, and our God desires for us to come into his presence and to see and to pray, he invites us to come before him. And even as we come before him, we come with confidence that God will hear our cries. But these words also remind us that we are dealing with a holy God, and when we come before him, he expects us to come with an attitude of admiration, a respectful attitude before this great God. These four words carry a very big message about our God and challenges us of what ought to be our attitude when we come to God in prayer. So let us hear these words speak as we consider the thought, hallowed be your name. The phrase, hallowed be your name, they bring out the significance of God's name. Those words, when uttered, immediately draws us to the significance of God's name. And the word hallowed means to render or acknowledge or to be separated from blasphemous things or to be dedicated to God. Now, there are some other aspects to this meaning when you read the Bible, and it was used to refer to things or people that were considered to be holy. For example, the vessels that were used in worship in the tabernacle or in the temple, those vessels were considered to be hallowed. They were considered to be holy vessels, or the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle was considered a hallowed place. When you read in the Old Testament, the priests, they were considered to be hallowed, separated and dedicated to God. And when you read the history of the Jews in the Jewish custom, you see that there are so many things that they had set apart for the use of worship when they come before God. And these things were considered hallowed, separated for a noble cause. But when we come to the Lord's Prayer, we are not here, it's not a reference to a place or a vessel. It is a reference to God. And what we're being taught there is that God is hallowed, is separated from all things, from the defilements of this world, from the sinful actions or lifestyle of the world. God is separated. He's holy, is hallowed. God is too pure even to look at sin. And the angelic hosts worship him as the thrice holy God. And since he is holy, set apart, he is worthy of our love, he is worthy of our worship, he is worthy of our devotion, he alone deserves the honor and the glory. The first supplication in our Lord's pattern of prayer focuses on God. Listen to the words of A.W. Pink. He wrote, and I quote, "How clearly then is the fundamental duty of prayer set forth? Self and all its need must be given a secondary place, and the Lord freely accorded the preeminence in our thoughts and supplications. This petition must take the precedence, for the glory of God's name is the ultimate end of all things." End of quote. And this is what these words seek to convey to us. That even though we have a relationship with God, we have a relationship with our Father, and our Father desires to meet us and to meet our needs through his heavenly riches, when we come before him, it is not for our benefits. It's for his glory. And when we come, our focus must be completely about God. "Hallowed be your name" warns us against selfish prayers, because our focus must be God. And those words embraces God's nature and what ought to be our response when we come to God in prayer. And here, Lord Jesus Christ, he's teaching his disciples how to pray, and he's teaching us how to pray. And when he utters those words, that prayer then like this, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," he's not simply reciting some nice words about God. No. He wants us to know that when we come before God, we must be consumed with his presence. We must be consumed with his importance. We must be consumed with him. And he's teaching us to focus our minds on God. Not just his titles, but on God himself, who he is. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we said, this is how we must pray. "Hallowed be your name." So when we enter his presence in prayer, take time to worship him. Take time to honor and praise him. Lift your heart, your voice, your soul to God, the God who's loved you with an everlasting love, the God who keeps you, and the God who guides you. These words are not simply a ritual. It is an opportunity for us to glorify God by acknowledging His greatness, His majesty, and His character. Hallowed be your name. But these words, hallowed be your name, they speak about a choice. They don't just speak about the significance of God's name, but they also speak about a choice. When we come before God in prayer, we face a decision. We can either focus our prayers around ourselves, or we can center our thoughts on God. There is a decision that we have to make. They speak of a choice. And the words, hallowed be your name, expresses a desire on the part of the one praying to bow before the Lord and worship Him and submit yourself to His will. They express a desire that let God do as He please. These words demonstrate what ought to be the desire of the one coming before God in prayer. But also when we say, hallowed be your name, what we are saying is that we are giving God the first place in our thoughts, in our affections, and in our lives. We are saying, Lord, have your way in our lives, and let our lives be a reflection of the fact that we've made a conscious decision that we will submit and surrender to your will. We can learn something from the Jews. They had such a high regard of the name of the Lord that they would not even pronounce His name. They were afraid to pronounce His name out loud, lest they use His name in vain. And so they created the name Jehovah from two of our Lord's name. They took the consonants from the name Yahweh and the vowels from Adonai and came up with the word, the name Jehovah. And that's the name they would use to refer to God, so that they could talk about God without calling His name. Because they were so afraid that in calling on trying to talk about God, they may so talk about Him in such a way that they use His name in vain and be guilty of blasphemy. When you also read about the Jewish scribes, they were so careful that the quill they would use to copy the word of the Lord would be so disposed after use that that quill is never used for any other purpose, lest it's used to profane the name of the Lord. This was all in an attempt to see that the name of God is hallowed in their lives, in their day-to-day lives. And this is what these words remind us, or these are what these words teach us. These words teach us that there must be some degree of reverence when we come before God. When we say, hallowed be your name, when we come before God, we are saying, Lord, we've made this personal choice that we will hallow your name, we'll honor your name, we'll separate ourselves from everything that disowns your name. And when we come before you, we want to see that your holy name is glorified. We want to see that you receive the honor and the glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ wanted us to know that when we are praying, we are addressing the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. We are talking to someone who is absolutely sovereign. Someone who is infinitely holy and glorious beyond description. And you can sense the passion and the desire in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God and has been with God the Father from eternity, and he knows who God is, and is teaching us how to pray. These words speaks about a choice to either hallow God in with our lives or to disown God. And the question I want to ask is this. Was it too much to ask you to spare an hour every evening this past week to pray? Was it too much? You had a choice to make this past week. You had a choice to adjust your life so that you can join with the rest of God's people just for an hour, for 5 days, to pray, to hallow the name of the Lord, to come to God with the rest of his children. Was it too much to ask? You had a choice to make. You are faced with a choice to come before God with a burning desire to see that his glorious name is lifted up as we pray. In future, when we have such seasons, when such seasons come, make the right choice. Choose to spend time in the presence of God with the rest of God's people, with the rest of the saints, so that the name of God is hallowed. The third thing we see is that these words, hallowed be your name, speak of consecration. They speak of consecration. It is a petition for help in living out his holiness in our daily lives. We are saying, Lord, we have a relationship with you, and now we come before you. We want you to live your life in us, that as we live in this world, we will live out your holiness in this world. We will live out your life in this rebellious world. We want our lives to hallow your holy name. Hallowed be your name, Lord. We are saying to ourselves, we are making this commitment, a commitment to separate ourselves so that the life we live is consecrated to you. We want what we do to be honoring and God glorifying. God's name is a holy name. In fact, God is holy. And we cannot do anything to make him more holy. The only way is for us to pray that we hallow his name through our lives and our conduct, so that the way we live our lives is pleasing in his sight. There's no greater damage done to the great and hallowed name of God than that done by those who claim to love and worship him when they live their lives than they should be living. When they live their lives in disobedience to God, there's no greater damage than to his name. Because our lives are showing that whatever relationship we claim, whatever consecration we claim we have before God, it does not matter. And when we live our lives the way we want and not the way God wants, the world around is seeing and is wondering whether our conduct and our words are reconciled. Your greatest desire should be to live your world in such a way, to live your life rather in such a way, that when the world looks at you, they will see the light of Christ shining through you, shining in your life, that they too would want to would be drawn to this God. When they see how you are living your life in total obedience and in willing submission to God, the world will see your light of God's grace shining through you, and they would want to know this God. They will be attracted to this God. Alan Redpath wrote, and I quote, "The only reason God leaves us here after we are saved is so that we can hallow his name before a lost and a dying world." That's the only reason. So that the world can see how different our lives are. The world can see how we are so consecrated to this God that they will seek God for salvation because of the example and the lifestyle that you live. And as you do so, you are proclaiming the glories of God in your life. And you're basically saying, "Hallowed be your name." Let your lifestyle show this caption, "Hallowed be your name," in your life. By the way you conduct yourself, it's not simply going around putting on a shirt or a t-shirt saying, "Hallowed be your name." Your attitude will show that God's hand of grace is upon you. And our attitudes our activities, our habits will show that God's name is hallowed. When we walk in obedience to God, the world will notice, the world will see. But so, when we walk also in disobedience to the will of God, we are guilty of taking the name of God in vain. When we live in disobedience, we reduce the capacity to honor His name, and we are no longer a vehicle for displaying the holiness of God. Because our life contradicts our profession, and the world will see. And you know, as human beings, we thrive on negative things. And the moment they see something negative, that's what they'll pick. They'll forget about all these other positives they've seen. They'll thrive on that negative thing, and they'll keep on referring to it. That's why we must pray and cry out to God that our lives may hallow His name, that we'll be consecrated to this great God, and we'll adjust our lives in such a way that our lives begin to see, to show that we've consecrated our lives to this great God. Imagine the kind of testimony we would have been displaying to the world this past week if we all of us showed up for our prayer meetings in our various home groups. Imagine the kind of testimony we would have been displaying to the world. The impact that testimony would have had upon our neighbors, where our home group meets, when they see that we are willing to adjust our lives, we are willing to adjust our week so that we are found in the house of prayer. Imagine the kind of testimonies around our neighborhood. People would have seen that this is not just about religion. There is more to it. This is a commitment from these individuals to see that they gather and pray to this God. Imagine if 400 plus members showed up in these various home groups, 10 of them across the city of Lusaka. And when people inquire, when the neighbors inquire, and they get the feedback, they know they are having a week of prayer and fasting. This would have shown that our lives have been consecrated to God, and you want God's name to be hallowed. We used to share the statistics on our WhatsApp group as elders. And the average number was 8. And then that shows how much importance we attach to prayer. And when we gathered on Tuesday for the whole day of prayer and fasting, we began with 41. and ended the day with 66 people present, more than the number present this evening. The question we need to ask and wrestle with, do we desire to hallow God's name in our lives? Are we willing to adjust our lives, be in the house of prayer, the house of worship, so that as the world see, they can see that this is not just religion. There's more than religion. I challenge you to bow before the Father and ask him to teach you how to pray. Ask him that as you come before him to pray, you will hallow his name. Those four words, hallowed be your name, they call for devotion in our lives. They challenge us to commit ourselves to God and see that we worship him in our lives and we live in obedience to his will. Perhaps you've realized that you failed in this area of prayer. And a few times you've prayed, your prayers have always been self-centered. This is a good time to ask Jesus that the blood he shed on the cross may wash you from your sins, and that you may live your life in consecration to him. As we come to him to break bread and drink of the cup, may we consecrate our lives to him. The bread, the cup, reminds us of the God who took upon himself the human flesh, was born into this world, and died on the cross for sinners. His names reveal who he is and what he has done for his people. And here, as he teaches us how to pray, he wants our focus to be God, to think of his name. And as we think of his name, to make a choice that we will consecrate our lives to the living God. And that when the world looks at us, they will see God. And through our lives, they will seek to honor and glorify his holy name. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we thank you that you are the one who teaches us how to pray. And in this model prayer that we have, you've shown us that our focus must be you. Our first supplication must be you. Before we think of asking of you that you give us our daily bread, may we be filled with you. And as we are filled with you, may we seek to hallow your name. May we seek to live our lives in such a way that this world that is scorning and mocking you will come to see the light of your gospel, the light of your grace in the lives of your children, so that they too may come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that you cause us to examine ourselves, even as we come before you and break the bread and drink the cup. Cause that none of us will do it in a manner that is displeasing to your holy name. We ask that you bless the bread and bless the cup. For we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.